You'll be hearing some updates on our projects, some information about the LCI. Many of you all may know that we have a moratorium going on, and so you hear some about that, and you hear some presentations from Greystone. So obviously, if you have any questions, certainly at the question and answer period, we'll try to answer any questions that you might have. Is that all right? All right. So if you don't mind, would you stand for the invocation? Humbly, O God, we come now before your throne of grace. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come thanking you for another day's journey. We come realizing that you are God, and beside thee there is none other. We realize that you have all power in your hands, that you can do anything but fail. We would ask that you bless each and every one under the sound of my voice. We ask that you would bless this mayor and council, that you would lead us and guide us in the way you would have us go. We pray, O God, that you bless all of our staff members that are here tonight. We pray, O God, that you bless the city of Powder Springs as a whole. Lord, we would be so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask all of this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I'm going to have our council introduce themselves, starting with our Mayor Pro Tem.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Wow, that feels much better. My name is Henry Luss. I serve as councilman for Ward 1, and I also serve as mayor pro tem for this wonderful city of Powder Springs. This is my eighth and final year on the council. A worthy gentleman will be taking my place, Mr. Roger Antone, so I'm sure he will serve you well, as I have attempted to do so. So it's been my pleasure to serve this city. I'm not going anyplace, but I'm just making a few changes in my life. Thank you.
Ms. Wiss.
Again, good evening to everyone. My name is Patricia Wisdom, and I am counsel at large for the city of Powder Springs. That means I serve all of the wards, wards 1, 2, and 3. And I just welcome all of you here. I hope our presentation will be enlightening to you. And come out and visit our new city hall. Come out and visit our new restaurants downtown. Okay, thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It's so good to see everyone's face tonight. It's always good to gather. It's a, really a blessing to gather and talk about how we're moving forward with our city. And like Ms. Wisdom was saying, please come out. We have a concert that's going on Saturday night. Please come out and visit some of our concerts and all that good stuff, okay? Nice talking to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is indeed a pleasure to see you all out on this afternoon. And my name is Doris Dawkins, and I serve as city council member for Ward 2 here in the beautiful city of Powder Springs. And this is my 10th year on board, and I'm looking forward to serving you 4 more years. And it's been my pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the presentation. And any questions, feel free to ask Mayor, Council, and the staff. Thank you for coming out.
Hello, everyone. Hello. It's nice to be last because everyone is giving all different accolades, and I don't have to repeat anything. But my name is Dwayne Green, and I serve for Ward 3, and I look forward to serving for another 4 years. Amen.
Forgot congratulations in order. Nobody's running against these guys. They're doing a great job. So I just want to say congratulations. Appreciate all the work you do, because really it is this body that makes everything work in the city. The mayor only votes in case there's a tie, but these are the folks that make it work, and all of these folks over here. I do want to take the opportunity while I have the mic to invite you all. You're on our City Hall. We moved in, I think, was it last Thursday?
The 8th.
And so we're still unpacking boxes, but we have a ribbon cutting schedule for October the 3rd and 4th. We look forward to you all coming. We're going to have a celebration 2 days because the building is just phenomenal. It's 5-star, so we want you to come see the building and all the things in it. So we're just really proud of what the city is doing. All right, this time I'm going to bring our city manager up, Ms. Pam Carnes. She's going to give us a layout of how the program is going to go.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council and guests. I'm glad to see you here. Thanks for taking the time to come out and spend a couple of hours with us to share information with you and to hear your feedback and your comments and give us the opportunity to answer your questions. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to have a presentation first by Greystone, as the Mayor mentioned. They're one of our electric providers to residents in the city. And then after that, we'll have a presentation about various projects. One of the surveys that we did recently said that what you wanted to hear most was about infrastructure and projects. So that's primarily what we'll talk about. There will be some other items on the presentation as well, and then we'll have time for questions and answers following that. We do, in case you're not familiar with the facility, I think most of you are, but just in case you're not, there is restroom facilities at the back hallway, just straight to the back. Before we do get started, I'd like for my staff to introduce themselves. If you all would stand up and introduce yourself and give your title and your department, and if you have any staff here with you tonight, if you would please introduce them as well. Mr. Young.
Yes, I'm Leroy Young. I'm the director for Solid.
Got to turn it on.
Yes, I'm Leroy Young.
Just shout, Leroy.
Solid Waste Fleet and Auditing Services for the city. And I'll turn this over even
Hello? Can you hear me? Good. Yep. Good evening, everyone. I'm Marcellus Williams. I'm the Economic Development Director with the city.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Travis Sims. I'm the Finance Director for the city. In the back at the back table, we have our receptionist, Miss Jenny Mays. A lot of you stopped by to see her as you enter.
Hi, good evening. I'm Kelly Axt. I'm the Internal Support Services Director, and I wanted to take a minute to introduce our fine team that's running our AV, Michael Upshaw with Above the Cloud, and Isaiah and Amani running Point in the Back. So thank you all for your service.
Good evening, everyone. I am Dr. Henry Smith, and I'm the Deputy HR Director for the City of Powder Springs.
Good evening. I'm Lane Cadwell. I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Powder Springs. I have with me here Captain McClure, who's over our Operations Division. And in the back, we have Lieutenant Cipriano and Lieutenant Wright, who are our two patrol lieutenants.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Travis Landrum. I'm the Infrastructure and Amenities Director for the City of Powder Springs.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Phyllis Calloway, and I am the Chief Compliance Officer.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rosalyn Neely, Human Resources Director.
I'm John Gargis. I'm the Communications Consultant for the city.
All right. Thank you. And I appreciate the comments that the mayor shared earlier. This team is a great team, and a lot of the operations that you see on a day-to-day basis, they work really hard to provide those services to you, so thank you. I would like to ask Mayor Pro Tem Less to come forward and introduce our special guest tonight.
Good evening once again. It is my pleasure to introduce not only a great service provider to us, but a great partner to the City of Powder Springs. Greystone Electric is a great partner. Although their facility is not in the city, but still they provide great services to our city and more to come. So it is my pleasure to introduce you to one of the board directors who represents our area, and she will in turn introduce the rest of the guests from Break Greystone. Her name is Cherise Broxton. So she's been there for, I'm not sure how many years, but she'll tell you that. Cherise? Okay.
Okay, good evening. I talk really loud, so I don't really need the mic, but good evening. I am almost finishing my first term on the board, so I came here during my first term. But my name is Cherise Braxton, and I am your District 9 representative for Greystone Power Corporation. I've also lived in Powder Springs for 18 years, so I'm a resident just right around the corner. I want to thank Mayor Al Thurman, the City Council, and the city staff. You've given us the opportunity to speak briefly to you tonight. So many of you may not know, but Greystone is a member-owned and member-driven organization, which means only that you do not get to vote on who runs and who gets on the board. But you also are the reason that we work. You are the members. You own the co-op. And many of you, you get a little credit check every year, right? And that's because you own the co-op. So I want to share that Greystone has over 16,000 members in Cobb County. That number continues to grow, of course, each year. We want to continue to partner in the area, both for our residential and our business members. Our economic development team stands ready to help Mr. Williams, your economic development director, whenever he needs us. And our goal is to not only continue supporting the initiatives and programs in Cobb County, but grow our presence here. So the one last thing I want to touch upon before I introduce the team is our annual meeting and annual elections are coming up. Again, like I said, you are the owners of the co-op, so you get to vote. The magazine that your ballots are in was actually mailed out today, so start looking for them next week. All you have to do is vote to fill out the ballot, seal it in the envelope. I'm not on the ballot this year, so it's another district. So I'm here because I want you to continue to know me and to know who your representative is. I also want to share with you that our annual meeting is coming up, and that is October 11th. By show of hands, how many of you went to the drive-through annual meeting last year? You guys are really failing me. I told Blake, I said, Blake, I think my district is the least district that attends the annual meeting. So last year, we gave out $50 Kroger gift cards to everyone that came to the annual meeting, and you all missed out. This year, we're not telling you what we're gonna give. You have to come and get it. But it will be just as good. So it's October 11th, and it's a drive-through, so it's 8 to 10. Come in, you'll be in and out, but you will not regret it. So please join us. So now, without further ado, I want to introduce our Greystone Power Corporation team. First, and when I call your name, please stand. First, we have Blake Doss. He is our Director of Government Affairs. Second, we have David Johnson. He is our Chief Operations Officer. Next, we have Toni Hanna. She is our new Vice President of Member Relations and External Affairs. She's been with us 3 months. And last, we have your presenter, Drew Hook, Manager of Energy Services. So tonight, Drew is going to talk to you about energy prices, how to potentially save some money, go through a few benefits of being a member. Again, I just want to thank you all for listening to us and having us here. Greystone continues to supply reliable, affordable, safe power. So thank you. Without further ado, Drew.
Good evening, everyone. And I always like to start off with this because being in a city kind of falls in line with what Greystone does, but all the services that you are provided as a person living in the city, I'm pretty sure you don't want any less service tomorrow than what you have today. And the same goes for energy. We talk to people every day that what they have in their home, they don't want any less power coming to their home tomorrow. But everything we purchase and use, especially people with children, that continues to grow. So the demand continues to grow. So the team that's here tonight has a tough job, and we strive, pride ourselves on keeping the lights on and offering affordable, reliable power. So the cost of power, it is a convenience. It's a benefit. It's something that we want to have every day. And compared to other things we purchase on a daily basis, it might shock you just how much of a convenience it is, but also the price of the offering that it comes at. Well, and sorry, this acted up just real quick, but for whatever reason, average daily cost is $5 to operate a member's home, compared to what we pay for a cup of coffee at Starbucks and things like that. What we see over the years, increased prices. Anybody who's recently been to Chick-fil-A knows that what you paid for a Chick-fil-A combo is not the same. Look, I love Chick-fil-A. It's a convenience. I have four boys, but I can go to a local restaurant and have them eat off a kid's menu cheaper than Chick-fil-A. So, but I still love the chicken. So, what do we do to help our members manage their energy usage? Education, education, education. Energy efficiency, seminars, various things like we're doing tonight. But education is the key for all our members to be successful in managing their usage. I always like to start here. I'm going to do a 30,000 foot view of this for time purposes, but you can see that heating and cooling makes up the largest portion of your usage. I can tell you on a hot summer day in July, it might be closer to 75-80%. But throughout the year, you're going to average about 52% of your cost is going to be associated with heating and cooling the home. Comfort comes into play with that, weather and other things. And then you have water heating, refrigeration, lighting. Lighting has really come down a lot just because most people now use a lot of LED bulbs, and you can use a whole bunch of them for what it would cost to use one incandescent. Contributors to a high bill, weather conditions. We've seen that recently with some of the heat waves we've had. We saw it back in January and February when we had some of those cold snaps. The colder or hotter it is outside, the more it takes your home system to change that temperature to the desired temp you have in the home. And I would tell you at a certain point in the summertime, in a residential application, that most people, if you can get about 15 to 20 degrees difference between outside to inside temperature, you're doing well, because then you also factor in humidity. Seasonal appliances, pool pumps, space heaters, all those items that are used certain times of the year and run for long periods of time definitely drive up costs. HVAC equipment, being a large appliance that doesn't work properly, things of that nature. If you haven't had it serviced recently, if it's just not cooling, a telltale sign for anyone is if you have your thermostat set at, say, 75 to 78 degrees and your air's running, but it says it's 80 degrees inside the house, that means your system can't keep up. That would be a good indicator for someone to start with having a conversation with their HVAC company. And then change in lifestyle. The Hook household changes on May 20th, 21st every year when all the boys get out of school. And now they're in my house all the time. We got games running. The door is constantly swinging open and closed. And I live in a 75-year-old house, so there's a lot of things that are in the process that drive that up. But lifestyle changes. If you have a bunch of people that come over for the holidays, people experience increased usage, things of that nature. So the ways to save, and I'm just going to give a short view of a few things that you can use to save energy and save money. Thermostat control. I don't live in your home, I'm not controlling your thermostat. I don't want control of the thermostat. Some people choose to set it where we recommend 78 and 68, but then other people choose to set their thermostat at a level that they find comfortable in the home, and that's fine. Just know that with adjustments to those temperatures and having more comfort in your home also drives up the cost. On average, 3 to 5% in the summertime, I would say, is a good number of increase in your power consumption that you can see by setting it below 78 degrees. Next one, check and change air filter on a regular basis. Most people now buy a pleated air filter. It's a 90-day filter. If it looks dirty in a month, go ahead and change it. That is the number one thing that we see when we go out to homes. Well, my husband's been changing, or my wife just said she just changed it, and you go to it, and it looks like a sweater, or it's discolored and everything. Filters are nasty when you have large dogs that shed, so they collect all that hair. But that's the cheapest thing someone can do. When they ask me, what is something I can do to help my system work better? Change your filter. And you don't have to buy a top-of-the-line, super expensive one, but you do need to buy one and then change it regularly. And then annual maintenance. This is a big one, too. In most people's cases, a heating and air system is the third most expensive thing they own, and they don't even realize it. It would go house, car. The cost and the increase ever since COVID, a standard HVAC system now will probably cost you about $10,000 to $12,000. So those are biggies. The next thing you can do is get the Greystone Power app. It's going to show you your usage. It will not show you what you use so far today, but when you log on tomorrow, it will show you what you use today all the way back. And you can put in correlations with what the weather's doing. And you can start to see, like, hey, I had a bunch of people over this weekend. We had the air running real hard. And you'll start noticing that the weather plays a big impact, and so does the lifestyle. And there again, heating and cooling typically makes up over half of your electric bill. A few other things that we offer: we have a partnership with Gas South. Any of our members can take part in that. Top-rated service, they're simple, easy rate plans. And the biggest thing that a lot of people like to see is they give a lot back to the communities. And every year they get 5% of their earnings back and their profits. We also have EMC Security. One thing about EMC Security is it's no contract, and it starts at $16.95 a month. This is something new that we offer for people who want to have guaranteed power all the time and know that there's an expense that comes with that, but a standby generator for the whole home, where if you ever lose power, this will pick up and start running. So people who work from home or travel find a lot of benefit in this. And then we ask you to check out the places we post and put things out, all the social media platforms. Facebook is a good one. We just ask that in an outage situation, members do not use that as a place to report an outage. You will still need to put in an outage ticket or call our office. And that's all I have. I can take a few questions, or I got about a minute for questions if anybody has a question. Yes, sir.
Is Greystone planning on building any new power plants through Oglethorpe Power?
There's a lot of stuff in the works, but no firm commitments just yet. Yes, sir.
Do you have any incentive programs for electric vehicles?
We offer a $250 rebate for a member who installs a level 2 electric vehicle charger. And we have a time of use rate. Yes, sir. I just tell people the easiest thing to do is when you're running your heating and cooling system, check it monthly and change it. And then you're not going, well, is it 2 months or 3 months since I put it in? Yes, sir.
I would have loved to have known this years ago, but one of our kids had issues with mold and stuff. So when we replaced the air conditioner, we made sure that it had been damaged.
Yes, sir.
And why did you pre-filter? So you changed the pre-filter frequently once a month, the 5 inch less off. And I've been into, changing the filter and the interior of our original system came with the home. It just got nasty. The fan and all that.
Yes, sir.
This new filter system. Anytime anybody looks at it maintenance wise, they just can't stop talking about the fact that it looks brand new.
Yes.
Nothing gets to the fan. And so, yeah, we have better air cleaning.
Yes, sir.
But we also have home maintenance costs.
Yes, sir.
Now, a 5-inch whole home media filter is definitely the way to go. It just, unfortunately, builders don't usually put those in with systems.
You ready?
Okay. Well, thank you all very much.
Okay, the next section, we're going to just share some information about some of the projects. Predominantly, we're going to talk about the LCI, Livable Centers Initiative downtown, but want to share some project information. First, wanted to let you all know that the SPLOST program is set to expire and is up for renewal for the 2028 year. It will be on the ballot next year. And wanted to just kind of share the timeline with you so that you were familiar with it. We have to provide a draft list of projects to the county by the 1st of October. Early 2026 is when they'll start their town hall meetings and their open houses, sharing information with the public and getting some feedback. The Cobb Board of Commissioners will vote on that list in April. And then it'll be placed on, they'll take a vote for placing a resolution on the ballot in the summer, and then it will be on the ballot next November. The projects that, so everyone, all the cities in Cobb County are working on developing the project, draft project list, including Powder Springs. And what this is up here, and this will be on website so you can take a look at it. These are projects that have been pulled from all the different approved planning documents, whether it's our comprehensive plan, our Livable Centers Initiative, our downtown plan, or from public meetings that we've had from our town halls. Information has come from some of our town halls, and so it's resulted in those projects being placed on a list. And so the important thing, when you take a look at this, over the next couple of weeks, because we'll have some open houses also in order to get your feedback. The important thing I want you to notice is that the list of projects that are on here right now, they totaled $32 million. And the Cobb has projected that Powder Springs will receive about $18 million, just a little over $18 million. So there will have to be some prioritization of these projects as we go through and make certain decisions. You'll see intersection improvements. There's a lot of intersection improvements throughout the city that have been recommended in a draft transportation plan. Our trails and parks, finishing out the linear park, and also making certain improvements with the trails. Public safety is the chief project that's always on our SPLOST program that helps pay for a lot of the equipment, including their vehicles or their cameras or radios. So it's very important for that resurfacing every year. We usually spend in budget between 1.4 and 1.7 with resurfacing, and so we depend heavily on the SPLOST in order to do that. We will also have some facility, either facility improvements. We always run into HVAC issues. We just had a repair that we had to make over at the old museum in Powder Springs Park that was about $8,000. So those things that come up that will be covered under the SPLOST, typically is covered under the SPLOST. As well, stormwater improvements. We also, anytime we have a road project and there's an opportunity to do stormwater improvements in that area, we'll do that. So it'll capture that, or sidewalk improvements. And then general other facility things, there's interest in having a center for that will have youth programming and senior programming, and this Ford Center campus may provide the opportunity or the site for that. There's an assessment ongoing right now to look at the highest and best use of this campus, the buildings on this campus, as well as the Primitive Baptist Church downtown. So whatever that brings forward, those type of things would be covered or would be eligible, for example, on the SPLOST list. So those are some of the things that have that are in our planning documents. I encourage you to take a look and then share your comments and feedback about this. And we will have to go through a prioritization at some point in the next near future, in the next 6 to 9 months. The other thing I wanted to let you know about on our capital projects, so we have a number of projects that are already on our SPLOST list, or they're funded with other sources, and where we are with those. The Powder Springs Road Parallel Access Road, that's a safety improvement that begins close to Forest Hill and goes down close to the Creekwood subdivision. And what it does is provide an access road that parallels Powder Springs Road to allow those commercial properties to access that road in order to use a traffic signal to get onto Powder Springs Road. There's some been some serious accidents at the intersection with Forest Hill, a fatality several years ago, and that was why that project was placed on there. So it will be ready to bid later this fall. The Powder Springs Dallas roundabout is ready to bid this fall as well. That is out close to Florence, it's at the Florence Road intersection near the Bell South facility. The Powder Springs Park, that bid will probably go out in September. That will include a dog park as well as some additional parking that's going to be added because with the idea of accommodating farmers market at that location. Lewis and Oglesby Road improvements, the council has on the list is to conduct those improvements in order to direct truck traffic leaving the area where the warehouse is out to 278 instead of having it come to the downtown. So that is under design right now. We have the SPLOST will fund the design as well as the right-of-way, and then we're making application to fund the construction of that. So that it's in design right now. The Powder Springs Austell Road roundabout, that is at the intersection where BP and Dairy Queen, excuse me, couldn't think what the other two letters were. Dairy Queen is, and that is to facilitate, there's a lot of congestion there, and the road, with all the roads coming and converging together, it's an opportunity for some improvements there. The first phase of this project is just to do the conceptual scoping plan and try and determine what's the best layout. We will, so that's where that is now. We do have some funding for the engineering of that, and we have submitted for construction dollars with through the federal congressionally directed spending. We also have the Silver Comet connector. That is a trail connector from the Silver Comet down Olas Mountain Road and then turns to Jackson Way to connect with the park. That's to provide that direct access along that road. That's in engineering. It has both SPLOST dollars as well as transportation enhancement dollars. And those are, that one is further along because it has money's available for the design and engineering. So it's in design right now. The railroad elimination crossing was a project that we sought funding for, and we're in the process of putting in our request for qualifications together to select a firm that will look at the feasibility of potentially eliminating or closing the crossings of the railroad crossings at Finch and Story and Huddleston and realigning the roads to take that traffic that's there up to 278. So the first step of that process, which will begin later this fall, early winter, we'll be looking at the feasibility of that. It will require doing different alternatives or not doing it at all, looking at the environmental assessment in the area, and then also having a significant public engagement. So there'll be opportunities to for open house and different visioning sessions with the public to determine what's the best layout for that, assuming that whatever they develop at the end, which will be finished likely by September of next year, would be then used to submit an application for funding to do the next phase, the design and engineering of whatever is determined to be the best, if any, on that project. The Austell Powder Springs Road, the APS, is Austell Powder Springs Road Trail. That is a project that the City of Powder Springs is doing with Cobb County and the City of Austell. Everyone has a small match. We are seeking federal funding for that, and Cobb County is the lead. And that trail would come from Austell and then connect with the Silver Comet by Lindley, close to where Kentucky Fried Chicken is, connect down in that location. And so there'll be some coordination between that and the roundabout at Austell Powder Springs Road. We do have a transportation improvement recommendation study. They started that last spring. They have some preliminary recommendations, a lot of different intersection improvements. What they're doing right now is looking at instituting the impact fee program in order to help pay for those intersection improvements. The impact fee program right now we have in place for public safety and for parks, and that is a fee that's collected whenever a building permit is issued. And those fees then help offset the cost of those projects. So they're looking at having the impact fee program for the transportation improvements. As I mentioned, we are looking at a facility assessment study, looking at the use of these properties from the this building to the theater next door at the back of the library and the Primitive Baptist Church that is downtown at the intersection of Olas Mountain and Jackson Way. And that should be completed late winter between December and February. The plan was to have as much information as we could from that so that we could identify whether or not what kind of budget impacts there might be, or that we would have the opportunity to request funds for. As the mayor mentioned, the city hall is completed. We're working out the move-in hiccups that everyone experiences when they move into a new place. It's super exciting to be there. We will have an open house tour. Typically, of course, businesses, offices aren't open to the public for touring on a regular basis, but we're going to have a tour set up on Saturday, October 4th. From 10 to 11:30, so that if you stop by, we'll be able to show you all the different pieces of that project, the new office space as well as the court chambers. And then a really fun and interesting feature is our gallery. We have an art gallery that the South Cobb Arts Alliance has. They have all the art installed right now, and they're local artists, and they will be there that day as well to answer any questions. But that will be open to the public for use during the week. So if they wanted to come in and enjoy the art and have a chance to view it and just have a relaxing time there, they'll be able to do that. There will be a day that will be set aside if someone wants to reserve it for a meeting. For example, we often have requests for HOA meetings or for other type of business meetings. So there'll be a day that a person could reserve that space for that purpose. Just briefly on the development, so we have a number, and you can't see this either because it's really small, but you will when it's on the website. So we have different developments throughout the city, and we all of them have either received their land disturbance permit or they're in the process of putting in the infrastructure and grading. There are two that have not had their LDP approved yet. They haven't completed the process. That is the development on Elliott Road, and then Trilogy on Hill Road, and then the Vita development, which is on Barrett Parkway. Those are still in the development process, but they have submitted their application for LDP. One of the things that the mayor also mentioned was a moratorium that we have in place right now. It's a six-month moratorium on residential rezoning applications that was put in place in order to allow the council the opportunity to study the different land uses that are recommended in our comp plan and determine if which of those uses, especially the ones that are identified for commercial development, which ones are priority areas that should be retained for commercial. What we've learned over the last couple of years in each of the zoning applications that we've received when we've done the fiscal impact analysis is that we probably have more commercially zoned property than would be able to be developed. And so there's, and so we often get a lot of pressure to rezone that for residential purposes, understandably, because they've sat there for a long time. So what we're doing is taking a look at all of those properties that are available for development, looking at the zoning, looking at what are key areas that really need to be retained for commercial, which ones, you know, might make some sense for some additional residential, and then using and building a financial forecast model to use in making and helping make those land use decisions. Part of that effort will also include a short-term financial plan that we can use for budgeting and helping us kind of weigh and balance those decisions that will be coming before us in the next, in the future. And I'm sure they're going to continue as long as we have land that's available for development. So I'm going to turn it over now Marcellus Williams, our Economic Development Director. He's going to take you through a little bit of what he's been doing with economic development, and then also go through some where we are with the Livable Centers Initiative, which is the downtown redevelopment project. There'll be an opportunity during his presentation to seek your feedback through some polling. Ms. Axe will come up and explain how to do that. There will be a QR code, or you can download or key in the site that you need so that we can get your feedback about what you think on those questions. So, Marcellus, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. It's the Marcellus Show. I'm going to be here a while, so I need to get comfortable. So, again, I'm Marcellus Williams. I'm the Economic Development Director with the city. It's good to be here. It's good to see you all this evening. I want to give you a quick update as far as what's going on in the world of economic development. First and foremost, we had a big project, big win for us as a city. Back in May, we had a ribbon cutting for our new logistics center, $56 million investment, the largest investment in economic development investment in the history of Powder Springs, and that's going to create 175 jobs, and two companies moved in there, DP Wagner and HF Foods. So that's exciting for us. It's a big win for us as a city. Number two, I want to tell you about some things happening in our downtown. We have a new restaurant in our downtown, the Powder Springs Bistro, that opened up. Really excited about Oscar Mendevel. He's the chef and owner. He's doing a great job, so please go out and support him. He's located where Sugar's used to be. So food's really good, prices are good, so please check that out. Another thing I wanted to tell you is another ribbon cut, another big win for us as a city. The old Boyd building, it's not the Boyd building anymore, it's the Davis building, bought by Brian and Andrea Davis. They renovated it, redeveloped the building. The first tenant just moved in, Acres and Oats. So Acres and Oats just opened up their first location in the Metro Atlanta area. They have four locations total. Three of them in Macon. So they came up here, they love the city. They're prepared meal company, so you can get in there. So after, instead of going to getting fast food, you can hop in there and buy some meals for your family. So really great, really excited about them, and really happy that they're in our city. September 24th, we'll be hosting a career fair. We've got some of our companies, local companies, participating in that, such as Publix, HF Foods, DP Wagner, Boga America, and some others. So we're happy about that. Last year we had over 100 attendees attend our career fair. So to my right, you're probably wondering, what is this? It's a good question. What is that? I don't know. It's a heat map. So one of the things when it comes to economic development, business attraction, right? So you're trying to attract businesses to your city. And I've heard from you great residents on what you want. Right, Trader Joe's, the Starbuckses, and I heard some yeses in there, right? I just heard a yes. Culver's, I think I've heard Culver's, Raising Cane's, right? So I have reached out to them, and that's part of my job, is always selling the city, reaching out, cold calling. And so I won't tell you the name of this company, or this restaurant. It is a restaurateur. They do have a national brand. They do have their national name. But when I was talking to this gentleman, he said, hey, you know, Marcellus, I love Powder Springs. I love what you guys are doing. But based off the data, which is what this is, the data, you know, it's going to be tough for us. So the red areas that you see on that map is red is not good. So red for them is not good. Blue and green is good. So the greener and the bluer it is, the closer they can get to their revenue number. And their revenue number is about 1.1 million. That's where they feel like if we can make about 1.1 million, then we can, we're, it's a good investment for us as a city. Red is about 740 to 800K. So I just wanted to show you this to let you know that that's kind of what retailers are thinking, right? So the, and when they're thinking about our city, they're basing off demographics. So this is a combination of demographics, traffic count. I know, how do I say this? I know traffic is a pain. All right. I know traffic is a pain. But when it comes to restaurants, when it comes to certain retailers, the higher the traffic count, the more attractive a place is. And so that is just something I want to lay out there. We can, I know that's an issue. It's an issue everywhere. It's an issue across the metro Atlanta area. But they look at traffic counts, and that's very important for them. And so this all takes account of that. One of the things he does love, I just he mentioned that, going back to the city manager's previous slide about development, what's going in the pipeline makes us more attractive, right? Because they see housing, they see rooftops, and they see, well, more traffic, more customers, more clientele. We do have the demographics in our favor. Our average income in the city is about 94K. You know, 45% of our residents have a bachelor's degree or higher. So we do have positives in our favor. So I just wanted to show you this. And I'm sure when we get to the Q&A after I'm done, at the end, you'll have some questions, but just wanted to give you a talk about this. All right, let's talk about downtown redevelopment, the Livable Centers Initiative. So the LCI, Livable Centers Initiative, is a grant program that incentivizes local jurisdictions to re-envision their communities as a place for walkability, to encourage healthy lifestyle and encourage increased mobility. And so this is through the ARC acronyms, the Atlanta Regional Commission, and they give out grants to our cities. We were awarded this grant, I believe, last year. And so this is a plan to for our downtown. So from I don't know if we have a map up here that shows it, but when I say downtown, thinking from Lynn Drive or close to Richard Sayers Parkway all the way down to Lewis Road, that downtown area. So that's what I'm referring to. So this is a map just of this is a timeline just showing just the research analysis that take place. We had a community engagement session back in July in the Pat Vaughn Cultural Arts Center. So that was an open house. We're going to have another one soon in September. And just as a timeline, just the plan development, the plan refinement, and then it'll be finalized and adopted in Q1 of next year. So if you want to know more, just as far as doing the survey and give your input, this is a QR code right here. You can scan that, and there's also, that's the website, www.springsinmotionllc.com. So if you want to give your opinions and thoughts about what you want to see in the downtown, what you'd like to see, you can do that through that QR code and through that website. This is just some of the interview themes, some of the questions that were brought to the during the LCI. So, just balancing growth with the community and identity, revitalizing the downtown, making it a true destination, supporting local entrepreneurs and business longevity, and sustain and expand event programming. So, those are just some of the themes with the LCI. So, our first open house that we had that back in July. So, we had just there were some pictures of what you want to see most in the downtown. So residents got to, people that came got to point out what they want to see most. Then they based off what would you prioritize, then what's working, what's not working. So pros and grows that we can do as a city, and just other comments, anything else that they wanted to say, they were able to say that. So our top priorities, number one, I've heard this before. We all know what our top priority is, more dining, more local dining in the downtown. Number two was farmers market. Number three was just general parks and recreation, more public spaces, places where people can gather. Tie for number three. The other one was interactive art installations, so placemaking, engaging public artwork in the downtown. Four was increased connectivity to Silver Comet Trail. Five was microtransit, five was mural. Microtransit and murals. So the priority results based off the feedback from the open house. So the immediate priorities you see right there on your far left is local dining, farmers market, downtown development, so one-story storefronts and specialty merchandise. Shorter-term priorities, meaning this is going to be a few years or more, microtransit, farmers market, pocket parks, and then a longer-term priority from the next 5 to 10 years was just more park space, more public spaces, interactive art installation, murals, and then increased connectivity to the Silver Comet Trail. This was just mapping results. There was a map that people could just see, and then they could place what they want, just make their comments about certain areas in the downtown. So some of the results was downtown has a strong foundation, but needs some more attention, desire for more experiential downtown amenities. So more restaurants, recreation, social, and making it more of a social destination. And then some other issues, traffic and flooding issues. Takeaways so far, people want more in their downtown, more dining, more retail options, more recreation, more amenities, things to make them want to stay longer in the downtown. People do recognize the positive change that Powder Springs has made in the last decade, so that's good, but there seems to be an unawareness about some of the city's efforts. People love the park and the events that are going on. That's a major asset for us. There's a big concern over some of the existing businesses about their ability to stay long term. Potential to activate the downtown with a more variety of businesses, and then improving walkability and placemaking. So, what do we know? There is an unmet retail demand. We know that based off the LCI study. Residents, the total retail spending from residents exceeds the retail sales, so that leads to retail leakage, meaning people are going other places to shop. The LCI area captures about 4% of all non-automotive retail sales. Unmet retail demand, so there's 138.4 million citywide, so not just the downtown, but around the city of unmet retail demand, 4% of that is in the LCI area. Average retail sales per square foot is 400 to 500, and then that means there can be additional 12,000 to 15,000 square foot space for more retail in the downtown area. So that's about two, maybe three buildings. So vacant buildings will almost absorb some of that. So we have about 9,000 square foot of vacant retail in our downtown core right now. So just give you what that would be. 4,500 of that is from the Rooted building. That's the white building in the downtown that was renovated by Mr. Randy Hardy. The other portion of that, so kind of the L shape, is from the Davis building that they renovated. So I just mentioned that Acres and Oaks, we just moved in there. There's another concept that hopefully next week they will sign that is going to move in there, so that'll be less space available. But there is 1,900 square footage of space available in that building. And then, as I mentioned, Powder Springs Bistro, right? So they moved in, and that took up 2,000 square footage of space. But there is another 1,800 square footage of space in that building. That's from Nibbles, right? Nibbles, they closed, I believe, last fall or late last fall. So there is still that space. And then there's the there's going to be another retail building built about 3,800 square feet in the parking lot next to the across from the florist next to the Bookworm. So All right, parking. All right, this is interesting. Parking, right? It's a pain. Where can we park? That's what people say. So there are approximately 389 parking spaces in our downtown. That's excluding the temporary lot. So the temporary lot is the 1.1 acres of land the Downtown Development Authority owns, right next to Acres and Oaks, right across from the apartments. So it's the three lots behind the brewery, behind SGC, Chicken and Soul Food. So it's excluding those. So the supply and demand indicates that there's total parking demand is 310. So here's breaking news. So our supply exceeds demand by 79 spaces. Plus, we got the new parking deck, which is 120 parking spaces available for our rest for all to use. So, just wanted to.
And it's free.
That's the most important part, right? Just wanted to bring that up. We do need to address the perception that there's a parking problem. Integrate parking and new development, replace parking lost to new development and redevelopment, optimize existing capacity, implement a targeted wayfinding signage to direct drivers efficiently to the available parking spaces. Sometimes people don't know about the parking that we do have in the downtown area. We do have some spaces that get underutilized greatly, right? So particularly closer to our new city hall. And then the streetscape improvements as a solution, redesign Marietta Street and other streets downtown in a way that encourages better north and south connectivity. Yeah, our challenge, this is from the LCI, just the results that we've gotten so far. Powder Springs residents are calling for more dining options, which you are, and special retail downtown, which you are. And several new businesses, as I mentioned, are in the pipeline, are already in place right now for retail. However, beyond what is in the pipeline, there is a little market demand left, and we need to find ways to increase that demand. So how are we going to increase it? Here are the options. More housing, more density in the downtown, more connectivity to the Silver Comet Trail, creating that Beltline type feel. And then placemaking. Placemaking is the last string. So art in the downtown, using art as a way to attract people to our downtown, which it's a pretty successful thing. I said adding more housing, improving existing connectivity, attracting new visitors to the downtown. Using historical and annual growth rates, there may be a demand for an additional 50 to 130 housing units over the next 5 years, which could create an additional 5,000 to 14,000 square foot of potential retail, improving connectivity to the downtown for both residents and visitors. We've already kind of done that with the investment in the sidewalks, and so doing that. And then on the last part, over the past 12 months, over the last year, we've had about 158,000 people visit our downtown through our events from July 4th, Juneteenth, the Seafood Festival, which averages about 9,000 people a year, and other events that we do, Trunk or Treat. And so that's almost a 7% increase from last year. Thurman Springs Park is our most visited location in downtown, followed by Skint Chestnut, the brewery. So efforts like placemaking can help even attract even more people to our downtown. All right, I'm going to hand it over to Kelly for a brief period.
Okay. Who's ready to do a little public engagement? Let's exercise our fingers real quick and get ready to go. Okay, so anybody that's got their phone with them, this is the time to take it out. It's appropriate and expected. So take your phone out if you want to participate in this. We hope you all will. You've got a couple of different ways that you can access this survey. You can hit the QR code that's up on the screen. If you want to, you can go to whatever the browser is on your phone, to Menti, MENTI.com, and enter the code 6878-4185. So let's give everybody a second to do that, and we'll talk you right through it.
So the first survey that we're going to look at today, when you open up your survey, it's going to ask you, how would you rank these methods of increasing retail demand in downtown Powder Springs? So once you're on your screen, you'll see that. And you'll see, if you scroll, there are three items on the bottom of the screen. They say unranked options. So what you want to do is click onto each one of those options separately. The first one says add more housing. Click on that. You'll see it goes to the top of the page to one. You're going to do the next one, attracting new visitors. Hit that. You're going to see that it ranks it to number two. And then the last one, improving existing connectivity. You're going to click that, and it's going to take you to list at the top where they're one, two, three. To the right of that screen, you're going to see arrows that are going to let you individually rank how you want those numbers to be, your one, two, threes. Once you feel comfortable with that, go ahead and hit submit, and that's going to tally your vote for the city to evaluate and consider. So you're here and are participating, so let's go ahead and get those surveys done. We'll be back to do this again, so stay ready. Thanks, guys.
Do you want us to do you want to finish before we move on? Question.
So should we move to the next question on the survey and see if we'll answer them?
You can wait for the next QR code to come up.
Oh, because you can see them.
Oh, you can see all of them.
Yeah, you can see all of them. Should we keep going?
Then, you know what? If you're overachievers, let's do it. All the overachievers, let's go.
You want me to keep going? Okay. All right, we're going to give you some time. We got questions in the back? So placemaking is creating a sense of place. So it's like art in the downtown murals. It draws people to a place and they can connect with it. So that's essentially a high-level definition for it.
If you want to go to the next one and add and hold on the questions because the next ones will answer the questions.
Okay, right. We're going to go to the next. I'm going to continue the presentation, and then we can have the questions afterwards. So streetscape as a solution, too. So we kind of talked about that's been talked about in the LCI. So narrowing the sidewalks, narrow sidewalks, inconsistent crossings, and high vehicle speed. So that's kind of some things that some challenges. So impossible improvements for that, widening sidewalks and adding high visibility crosswalks, and trees to create a sense of charm and in the downtown and enhance safety. Shared space, so that talks about just establishing a walking thoroughfare while also allowing vehicle access at low speed. So some improvements that could happen there would be like bollards, paving, seating could reinforce low speed as well, and make a more pedestrian-focused environment. So this is what that streetscape solutions kind of look like. All right, placemaking. What is placemaking? This is placemaking. So again, this is kind of art in the downtown. We do have this currently in the downtown. So think about the mural by Sangster's Cafe, the Powder Springs mural. Think about the Coca-Cola mural on Rooted. Think about the We Belong mural on the alleyway by between Hand Me Ups and Powder Springs Bistro. We do have some murals in our downtown. We also do have some bike art. Right, so if you notice that in the downtown, the bike art, bike racks, right? So that was a project between us, the city, the South Cobb Arts Alliance, and then both Tapp Middle School and McEachern High School. So doing more of these things that draws people can, you know, people my age, millennials, we can have selfies at these things. So this is what placemaking is. what am I trying to say? these are some of the murals, just examples of murals, green from Norcross, probably It's not too far from us. But again, more murals. People love murals. People love art in the downtown. Kind of create like a outdoor art gallery in a sense. And then we have this a two when it comes to the, is it called the Mountain River Trail, Travis? Yeah. I saw that. We do have some more Mountain River Trail, which is a traveling art exhibit that goes through the different cities. So we do some things like this, but more of that draws people to the downtowns. Again, placemaking, sidewalk art, like you see, Marietta does this, right? So you noticed that, you're aware of that. Creative crosswalks, so in certain places, I know in downtown Atlanta, like they'll paint the crosswalks a different color. So it's just stuff like that. Create vibrancy, brighten up the downtown. All right, temporary installations. So these are pretty unique, pretty cool. You'll see this a lot in Grant Piedmont Park in Atlanta. You'll see this a lot if you go to the Atlanta Botanical Gardens, just art that you can interact with. We have had conversations with some groups that can do this in the past that have brought this up. So sometimes you can rent out traveling art exhibits and they place them in the downtown. And again, it draws people in draws families, travelers, visitors for more in tourism. One of them that's not mentioned here that's pretty unique is a city in Winder, Georgia. They have they rented out statues, and the statues look like people. Well, yeah. The statues are people, gold people who look like they're doing actual things. So there's a guy reading a newspaper, and if you can't really, if you're not paying attention, you think, oh, that's a real person, but it's not. It's a solid gold statue reading a newspaper. So, all right, polling again.
Okay, got smarter this time, wore my glasses so I could read more easily for you all. Okay, once again, we're going to do the same process. If you hit submit from question one, you may have already completed this. If you haven't, same thing, QR code here, menti.com. 6878-4185. The survey we're doing this time is, what types of public art and placemaking installations would you most like to see downtown? Rank your choices most to least. So again, we're going to scroll down and we're going to go ahead and add each of the options. Temporary installations, murals, sculptures, placemaking, and activation. And so once again, those are going to populate to the top of your screen, and you'll have the opportunity from the right-hand side with your arrows to put those in the order that you want to see, most to least. So most important, number one, down through number four. So if you want to take a minute to complete that. Yes, sir.
What does activation mean in this phrase?
Coming live, right?
Yeah. Coming on. It's like live.
Coming online, being available.
Yep.
Okay. Did everybody do this? I see everybody's head down, so I'm feeling like we're getting good participation. Okay. We'll be back again. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go to the next slide. So if we get more growth, where do we go? So there are four potential sites. So you see site A, which is on Lewis Road, right by the roundabout. You see site B, which is the southeast corner of Lewis and Atlanta Street. Site C, which is right on Marietta Street, which is the DDA owns, that's 1.1 acres of land that was mentioned earlier. And then Site D, the big one that you see right there, that's the west side along Old Lost Mountain Road. That's about 14.7 acres of land. So if we want to expand our downtown, if we want to have more places, where would we go? And so that's kind of just the areas that the consultants brought up when it comes to the LCI study. What's next? Workshops, open house, and then we'll have a town hall. So the visioning workshop is, put this in your calendars, it's September 9th from 2 to 8 p.m. It's a drop-in. It'll be at the city hall. So we'll present draft goals and ideas for feedback. We'll start developing concepts for the downtown. expansion sites, explore streetscape, and transportation improvements and more. So again, the visioning workshop will be September 9th from 2 to 8 p.m., and that is a drop-in. Now, I'm going to take us home. Austell Powder Springs Road Roundabout, so we're having an open house for that. That's going to be August 26th from 4 to 7 p.m. here in the Ford Center as a drop-in. So that's the roundabout at the existing intersection of Powder Springs Road, Austell Powder Springs Road, Powder Springs Road, Austell Powder Springs Road, Senior Street, and Marietta Street, so right by La Perea. And then it will include a 10-foot shared use path. So that open house will be August 26th at 4 p.m., from 4 to 7 p.m. Again, it's a drop-in here at the Ford Center. Outreach, so we're going to have go ahead.
Okay, so everybody here that participated, I want to share a little bit of the results so we can all see how we ranked out. So from question number one, how would you, this one's even smaller to read, folks. How would you rank those on the downtown question, what you were looking to see for the demand in downtown? So we had three options. Number one came in attracting new visitors. Number two was improving existing connectivity. And number three, from the rankings provided in this room, was add more housing. So those were the results from your first survey, folks. Survey number two, about the placemaking and the public art. The results on that, number one is murals. As Marcella said, people love murals. Sculptures was number two. Number three was placemaking and activation. And number four was the temporary installations. I'm not going to butcher that word, so I'm going to skip it. We know what it was. So anyway, that just gives you some feedback, even from the room, what your fellow folks here this evening are saying as well. So a couple of other things that we want to share. We love community engagement, just like with the surveys this evening, and we always want to make sure we're sharing as much outreach as we can. So a couple of ways that we can make sure you get information. You can help us with that as well. Obviously, we have town halls. You're here this evening. Our next one is scheduled for November the 20th, so we hope that you'll all be here for that. We put out a quarterly newsletter. The fourth quarter newsletter is due to come out October the 10th, so watch for those in your sanitation billings. They're also always available online on our website as well. We also do a monthly email. If you're not currently getting those, there's, guess what, a QR code, people, to go ahead and use that, and it's a quick registration. You'll see the example on the screen. You submit it, and that will opt you into getting those monthly newsletters. So if you're not getting those now, we'd love to have you join the monthly distribution of that. And then the other thing in particular to share, the city does have an app. It is available on both the Android platform and the Apple platform. The QR codes are here. I think there's some handouts at the back as well. If you want to get those, you simply go to the App Store, you type in Powder Springs. It's going to show you that icon in the top corner. You'll see that. You'll click on it, and you'll be ready to go and to be able to just check lots of different good information on the app as well, saving you a little time maybe from going just directly to the website. So those are a few different things we have, and I'd also like to mention we do I think a very nice job of getting information out on the socials. So if you don't follow us on social media, please do that. That's a great way to stay informed as well. But we want you to know what's going on. That's a few ways that you can stay informed.
All right. And last but not least, P.S. I love you. So this is going to be a new campaign that we're going to be doing, talking about why we love Powder Springs, why you, the residents, love Powder Springs. Powder Springs is the greatest city that ever was built, right? There's no city better than Powder Springs. I'm the economic development director. My job is to sell, so always selling. So we are the best city there ever was, without question, none of doubt. This campaign is going to be launching soon. Again, getting feedback from, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's kind of in the name, P.S. I Love You. So look forward to hearing more information about that soon. All right, thank you. I think it's time for questions, Q&A, or this mayor, do you need to say it? I don't know who needs to say that.
Unless you want my bulletproof vest.
All right. No.
Let us give staff a great big round of applause. A lot of good information. Okay. So if you have questions, you will have to come to the mic, give your name and your address. I do want to just say this. It's part of my job is to make sure I hear you, because myself and this council, we represent you. So we want to hear what you're saying, what you're looking for in the city. So please, you take advantage of all these ways of communication and be engaged. So if you have any questions, we will entertain those questions now. Come to the mic, give your name and address. You can form a line along or somewhere over there. So who?
Richard Elliott, 4403 Caleb Crossing, Powder Springs. I've got a couple of things in the Brownsville section. At Hiram Lithia Springs and Brownsville Road, they installed the new traffic lights. And if you're coming from Kroger and going to make a left turn on Brownsville Road, it has a flashing yellow light, but it never has a green light. So it didn't change anything as far as helping you to make that turn. And I would just suggest at least some portion of the time it show a green turn arrow, because it's just like it was when it had a green light. You'd run out, the traffic going straight would, you know, and you'd run out of time before you could make your turn. You'd have to wait again.
Any staff members want to address that?
Thank you. So that's a Cobb County project. The city can share that information with Cobb County, but I would encourage you to contact your commissioner as well as Cobb DOT and make your opinion known. That is something that we ask about that, and they made that decision that they wanted to see how it was going to function and operate before they did anything different.
Yeah,
so,
it was a great idea. It just isn't effective without the green arrow.
I would encourage you to contact
the... I got more. I'll go back to the end of the
line. A little high. Hi, Helene Mussman from Silver Springs Village.
Okay.
My question is on Richard D. Saylor's. From Home Depot to our entrance, the median strip is a mess. There are dead trees. There are bushes hanging off to the side. All those plants should really be pulled out and put in some flowering trees or rose bushes, something that dresses up that area.
Okay. Might as well stay up here like you on.
Thank you. I think Mayor and Council agree with you. That is on our list of projects to be completed. Sailors Parkway will be the entire stretch of it will be the project that we do starting in the spring of 26. It will include resurfacing. It will include improvements to the drain areas. And the, you know, I'm sure you've driven down that road and it's very bumpy. And it will also include the median and landscaping from Forest Hill to Florence Road.
Wonderful. You've made me happy.
It's coming. There you go.
All right. Hello. Ruben Bruin Jr. I live on 3158 Lancer Drive, Powder Springs, Georgia. All right. So as for my question, it's about downtown. There's a lot of things I like about town, a few I don't. But overall, I think you guys did a pretty good job redeveloping. But there is one concern I do have. So I don't know when, but a lot of the businesses that opened up, I think, just after or during the pandemic, and they just faded, like the ice cream shot, rooted, they're all gone now. And now there's some newer businesses, and that's good, but my concern is, what's stopping that from happening again? I know last meeting you mentioned that there are more residents, but is that enough? Is there any way to, like, bring people over? I don't know, like, maybe have, like, signs on the civil commentary. I don't know if that's allowed or not. Just an idea.
Well, one of the things is, I think people have to break their habits. When they leave their homes, they're either going to the East-West Connector or they're going to Hiram automatically. They don't think to come downtown and patronize the businesses that are in the downtown. So obviously, it's about you sharing information, telling you, you come to the restaurants downtown, you enjoy it. It's about you sharing that information. Have you tried the bistro? Things of that nature. So we got to market it better. So that's one of the things we have to do. But we need everybody to be participate in that, because the businesses, you know, obviously what you said during COVID, some people came in, they saw all the activity going on in the downtown, they wanted to get in early, but sometimes you can get in too early. And if you don't have capital to sustain yourself, businesses go out of business because they don't do enough business.
I agree with everything the mayor said, but also too, you know, some of those businesses, we did try to help. We did help some of them out, especially when we had ARPA funds, which we got from the federal government to help those businesses during that time. When it came to the ice cream store, I mean, he had some family issues, which is why he left. And obviously now we have Sankster's Cafe where he once was, and then Rooted. You know, he just wanted to go a different route. You know, for us as a city, one of the things, you know, as economic development, you know, when it comes to new businesses coming to the downtown, one of the reasons, any business, excuse me, not just to the downtown, if someone calls my office and says, hey, I want to start a business, and one of the things I ask them, do they have a business plan? What's their financing? Are they connected? And then I connect them to, if they don't have a business consultant coach, I connect them with the Kennesaw State Small Business Development Center, which provides coaching and helps someone through different stages. And so that's ways we can try to help someone not to have as much longevity as possible. There's only so much we can do as a government body, and to the mayor's point, it does depend on you all as the citizens, you know, continue to patronize the businesses, support them like you do. You do a great job with the brewery. We do a great job with SGC. We do a great job with Spa Wags, right? I mean, she's thriving in downtown. Sankster's Cafe, again. So we do a great job with our businesses and supporting them. So continue that local support is vital and key.
Thank you very much.
Richard Elliott again. Just a quick comment, and I have another question. I would encourage everyone to download the Powder Springs app. It's very useful. They respond very quickly, and my praises to the Public Service Department. Recently, I used it at the intersection of Oglesby and Brownsville Road. The trees were grown to the point where it was hard to see oncoming traffic. I submitted a request on the app. In hours, they came and they trimmed the trees to make it visible. I've reported potholes, and they've repaired them quickly. So I would plus all the information for city council meetings and everything. It's very useful.
Thank you.
Question relates to at the previous meeting, you had told us about the traffic study going on Brownsville Road Hardwood Apartments and the church to make it Oglesby a ride-in, ride-out, the church ride-in, ride-out, and a new traffic light in that area where the restaurants are supposed to be. And it's a two-part question. I wondered where that traffic study was, if it had been approved.
Do you have any updates?
It's still being handled by the engineers.
Okay. And then the other part of the question was, is there any update? I believe they said that all three of those restaurant properties had been bought by some kind of national chains, but they couldn't tell us who they were or when they might start construction. Do you have any information on that?
You know, on those types of situations, they don't want to give away information until they actually sign documentation, because sometimes that can spoil the deal.
So is that being held up by approving this traffic light?
I don't know if I would say that. So what was your question again now?
They were doing a traffic study, and I just wondered if that related to the fact they hadn't started construction on those restaurants yet.
She said it's not related.
Oh, okay.
I will say, any projects like this, they take a long time to get them off the ground. And sometimes somebody start talking about something, maybe 18 months to 24 months before they even break ground.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious. Thank you.
Okay. Hello.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Karen Berrier. I have two questions.
Okay.
The first one is, with all the new buildings, like right there on Macedonia and East West, those apartments going up, I don't know, like 300, 500.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this has already been, you know, asked. What are they going to do about the schools? They're already overcrowded. There's trailers in some of the parking lots. Like, with all those residents coming, what are they going to do about the overcrowded schools?
It's interesting you would say that. I was at a county meeting not long ago. You know, obviously when people think in terms of apartments, and when they gave us the numbers of what, Pam, do you have some documentation to talk about what they said the impact of apartments in schools and the ratio of how many kids it brings. We were under, in some cases, for TAP, even though there are improving TAP, because TAP has been there for a long time. But we've had the school board people come out here, obviously, who represent this district, and the schools were under enrollment. And that's a fact. And even when you see apartments, I've heard numbers where they may build 230 units. It may not. It may only bring 8 to 10 kids in those units. And those are facts.
Okay.
Mayor, the other thing, we always, whenever there's a development proposal that comes in, it always goes to the school board. And we ask for their input on impacts or feedback. And for everything that we've received, they've said no impact on our schools. The documentation that the mayor is referring to showed that all of our locals, the schools in the city of Powder Springs are under enrolled.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I read an article. I thought Powder Springs was mentioned as one of the schools
You're absolutely right. And
yeah, I thought it was. I was like, okay, I agree with you.
When people start talking, you ought to have facts to back them up.
Okay.
And I wanted to make sure the superintendent knew that.
Okay. All righty. Because my dad, when I take him to Publix, he's like, all these apartment buildings, I can't find a parking spot. It's just getting crowded.
I want to say this, it's interesting. Powder Springs, up until years ago, never had an apartment. Had apartments.
Yes.
So I've said to people in that regard, Powder Springs needed diverse housing. Right now, starting homes in Powder Springs is $400,000. Mm-hmm. If your kids graduate from McEachern, go off to college, where will they live? But they want to come back. Where? How will you see your grandchildren? Where will they have to move if there's no diverse housing, affordable housing?
Okay.
That's my case, and that's my point.
Okay. And the second one, recycling. So initially the city of Powder Springs did recycling. So then we had to go to another trash service that did recycling, and then they stopped. And now the recent trash service they changed over to, they're no longer recycling. Now, we pay for recycling. Where I come from, Wisconsin, we didn't pay for it, and it was mandatory. If you put glass with paper, you get fined. Like, it was, recycling meant that much.
Sure.
So now, I don't know if anybody's like me, but I cannot stand putting recycled in regular trash. It just does something to my spirit. It does. So I'm like, what are we supposed to do with all this recycled trash? Like,
the real question, nobody wants to take it. Overseas, nobody wants to take recycling.
Let me answer that. So I'm your director for solid waste. So we have a recycling center at our public works facility.
Okay.
It's right over off of behind off of Florence, right over in that area. It's open Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5, all year long. We never close unless it's super bad weather. So anybody can come over there. We take 6 different items. So we take cardboard, which means that it's 2 pieces of paper with the wave part in the middle. We take that. We take mixed paper. We take glass, all types of glass except plate glass, just, like all your bottles and everything. We take that. We take aluminum cans. We take tin cans like cat food and dog food. And so all this is taken there, 6 items total. And and like I said, Saturday and Sunday. So it's been very, very successful. Been running it for about 2 years now. So to your question, when you said originally the recycle center, there was a recycling here in the city where they went around and was picking up the recycling. The problem was only about 15% of the citizens were actually utilizing it. So it was not benefiting the city. Today, this is really working. I just went over to West Rock over in Marietta off of County Services Road and picked up pallets because we just delivered 29 bales of cardboard. So we take our aluminum and all of our metal stuff over to Awesome Brooks over in Hiram, okay. And we get a live check for that. So the city is really doing a great job, and that's diverting all this trash from the landfill.
What about plastic?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay,
plastics.
I was going to say that's the big thing. Okay.
Number 1 and 2 only.
Okay.
Now, I do have STEM students coming from McEachern High School, and I got one fixing to do one of their internships, and I'm going to ask him to look into plastics 3, 4, and 5, and 6 and find out why we can't take that.
Okay. She said, where are you located?
So the location is at the Public Works facility, which is 3006 Springs Industrial. And to supplement what Mr. Young said, the primary reason, in addition to not having that many people that actually participated, the primary reason was the expense. The company that we had a contract with increased the cost almost twice the amount that we were charging, and we would have to pass that on. It was not something that we would be able to absorb, and we certainly did not feel like the residents could take that much of an increase. And we already have an increase. We had to increase our rates because of the study that we've done over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. That's hard for people to pay those increased rates. And that has nothing, it would have been much more than that if we had kept the curbside recycling. And so knowing how important it was to the residents, the mayor and council elected to have something on site at the Public Works facility.
Okay. All right. I'll get that address when I, thank you.
And it's free.
My name is Melinda Coble. I live literally across the street where the concrete bulldogs.
Yes.
My dad was mayor of Powder Springs for two terms. My family's buried in the cemetery. I've lived here all of my 54 years. Mm-hmm. And the city means a lot to me personally. Sure. I have a lot of memories here. A lot of good memories, and I appreciate everything you guys are doing to keep the city thriving, and I appreciate you giving us a chance to ask you questions and voice concerns. I wanted to say that I live in my grandmother's house, so we renovated it, and I sit on the porch and watch the people speed up and down the road, mm-hmm. and so I used to make fun of my grandmother before Mayor Vaughn put the speed humps in and all of the stop signs. I used to make fun of her because she would get so mad about people driving fast down the road. And then, you know, she passed away, and then now we live here. And my husband and I have turned into old people who complain about
people
driving fast down the road. And I've seen police officers hiding in the cemetery and catching them every once in a while. But when I tell you 10 people a day run all of the stop signs, they don't even slow down for the speed bumps right here in front of the library or anything. It's amazing to me, and it's dangerous, too.
Sure.
Because you have all the school traffic. So please, if they could monitor that more. And also, I can tell you, nobody is visiting their loved ones at midnight in the cemetery.
Oh, wow.
And there are a lot of people going in the cemetery all hours of the night, not visiting loved ones. And so just a heads up that there's some shenanigans going on in the cemetery.
Chief, you getting all this?
My second question is where Harmon's restaurant was. Literally an eyesore to the whole community. I mean, there's not a for sale sign. There's not a build to suit. There's nothing there. Is there any word at all about what's going to happen with that lot where it was across from Dairy Queen that's just vacant, crumbling asphalt?
I don't know how to answer that question. We have anything on that?
No. Yeah, okay.
So that's privately owned, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, last time. I just saw a share a point of information. As he was saying, we have the recycling facility. It has to be sorted there. But an alternative, just to make you aware, is at the on Austell Road, the police station with the license bureau in there.
Sure.
There are two dumpsters in the back there that are obviously open 24/7, and you can take the same items, all the plastics and everything, and in a bag and put them in the dumpster.
Oh, wow.
And also cardboard. So I just don't choose to separate all my stuff, so I take it over there. But just point of information, I forgot which lady asked, but yeah, but that's an alternative. You can just bag it like you used to do on the curb. You just have to take it over there and put it in the dumpsters.
Thank you for
that. And then, of course, on the city, is it City Services Road over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a large facility over there with several dumpsters.
County Services.
Yeah, County Services. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Tom Vonk. I live at 4130 Cedar Ridge Road. Two things. One is on the recycling. I use it regularly. it would be great if once a month or so we could have like a Monday open, because if, I mean, we're open, my hair salon's open on Saturday, so it's not always easy to get away to use it. So, but I get it. Most people, Saturday is probably the best day to bring. And a lot of people come, and the two to three guys that are there helping are amazingly willing to help. I mean, yes, it's supposed to be sorted, and most people try, but it's very frequently sorted incorrectly, and they are just so patient. They're there. They help with the boxes. That there are some boxes I just not strong enough to tear down. They never question it. They just come and smash it, get it in. So they're doing a fine job. The question, though, I have is the bank, ex-finance building at the corner. Two years ago, my first time I came here, when I came to town, there was hope that that was going to be some business project fairly soon. Obviously, that fell through. Is there anything going on with that space? That's it's a great location, and it's just going nowhere.
Thank you, Mr. Volk, for asking that question. So it was sold recently. I talked to the real estate agent about that. He said that they were going to bring some type of restaurant concept to that. Don't know the status on that. I haven't heard from him in a couple months, so I'll follow up on that. But I know that one of the hiccups before was just the price, but it was sold. So I'll follow up. And I'll come by the salon and get my hair done and let you know.
Yeah, like me.
And I will tell you, the people that own property in Powder Springs think an awful lot of it, meaning that they have very high prices on land and property. They think an awful lot of it.
Hello,
yes,
again.
Sir.
All right, so I guess I'm the last one. So my question about the development happening on Macadamia Road, I noticed across the street there is an old road. I'm guessing it's private property. But it goes all the way to the Walmart, and I just had a random thought one day. What if they turn it into like a bike trail or something? It's just an idea. I know you guys will need to like buy the land, and you have to like develop and all that stuff. But it's not. I think it would be worth it. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, it's an idea. Any other questions? If not, I'm gonna let y'all go home. Thank you all so much for coming out. I'm just so happy to see so many of you all out. That makes me know that you are concerned about the city of Powder Springs. Be blessed. Travel safe.
There you go. Girl,